DG, good morning. I always appreciate the time.
Good morning, Chris. Always good to be with you.
Were you surprised by the timing of the move yesterday by NC State?
Only a little bit. You know, historically speaking, there's just no way you'd ever see a coach fired 1 year after not just taking a school to the ACC title in the Final Four, but in this school's case, NC State, it was the first time since the 1980s that either of those things has happened. But the reason that statement gets the asterisk is that the world has changed in so many ways. And we know through the ACC lawsuit settlement that you and I discussed recently that moving forward, for the first time in ACC history, every school's athletic department is going to have its money from the conference office tied to both on-field success in football and men's basketball and TV eyeballs in football and men's basketball. It's not the revenue sharing that was equal for the first 70 years of ACC history. When you make it more success-based, the division of money, you, of course, ratchet up the pressure on your men's basketball and football coaches especially. So I think Boo Carrigan was going to fire Kevin Keats on his way to, you know, Washington, D.C. last year for the ACC tournament, and Kevin Keats ruined those plans with his magical run there. But 1 year later, if you didn't think he was the guy before, you certainly didn't think he was the right guy after this disaster of a season.
I understand all the eyeballs and the revenue sharing. I understand all that. But given the contract extension that Coach Keats got automatically because he won the ACC, went to the Final Four, the buyout became more last year. NC State paying a lot more money in the buyout, now having to pay the money for a new staff as well. This feels like a substantial amount of money that NC State's having to shell out.
It is. And I believe the buyout is between $7 and $8 million. That's not among the largest buyouts I've ever seen. It's not small, of course. And all of these schools are, remember, dealing with new line items in their budgets. For example, this coming year, $20+ million worth of name, image, likeness money is going to come from within the athletic department to the players and athletes on campus. That's a first-time thing. To this point, all of name, image, likeness money that goes to players comes from third parties, meaning independent companies outside the athletic department. So, you know, where's Carolina coming up with the money to pay Bill Belichick $10 million in football and build huge support staffs around Hubert Davis in basketball and Bill Belichick in football? These are the two prominent public universities in our state. Neither is overwhelmingly wealthy by Division I, you know, Power Four conference standards. But they must believe they have the money somewhere, Chris, because not only is NC State here, you know, paying Kevin Keats almost $8 million not to coach, you're going to need to pay the new coach a significant amount of money, as you said, and you're going to need to give the new coach significant name, image, likeness money, because as Kevin Keats wrote in his goodbye letter to Wolfpack Nation, and I underlined this part of one sentence, he said, "This program will continue to thrive when supported to the level necessary to compete." That is Kevin Keats' polite way of saying, I didn't have enough money to give, you know, NIL money to my last year's team. And a lot of the teams that beat me had more money than I did. Obviously, the layers to this cake, you know, are more expensive than they've ever been when it comes to a coaching change.
Visiting with David Glenn of the North Carolina Sports Network, you can read his work at ncsportsnetwork.com. Okay, I'm going to ask you to look into your crystal ball here. Who are the potential targets to be the next coach at NC State?
Well, Will Wade is a very successful and very controversial head coach at McNeese State, which is in the Southland Conference. He has the best team 2 years running in that league. Prior to that, he took LSU to three of the four NCAA tournaments that were played during his tenure there. Prior to that, he took VCU to two NCAA tournaments in his 2 years with the Rams in the Atlantic 10. So everyone agrees this guy can coach. He's also only in his early 40s, so you'd be catching a guy at a relatively young age by ACC standards. I also say controversial because this is a guy that was caught with massive NCAA violations during his time at LSU. And before it was legal to throw money around, he was caught giving money to players, which is, by the way, is still illegal. It's not the coaches that can reach into their own pocket and pay players, even under the new system. But Will Wade was found, I believe it was five level one NCAA violations at LSU. That ultimately cost him his job at LSU. It put LSU into all sorts of NCAA sanctions, and LSU basketball has been bad ever since it was hit by those sanctions. So, you know, which is he? Is he the controversial cheater, or is he the consistent winner, or is he both? And does that bother NC State? We don't know the answer to that question. The fan base, majority of it doesn't seem to mind, but Boo Corrigan and the outgoing / incoming NC State chancellor has to weigh in on that. Besides that, Andy Kennedy used to play at NC State. He's now the head coach at a very successful UAB program that you've probably seen as one of the better teams in the American Athletic Conference in recent years. And then if they somehow wanted a major conference assistant coach, Justin Gainey, former Wolfpack point guard, most would remember, is an assistant to Rick Barnes at Tennessee. So those would just be three names that come to mind. But as the release stated, NC State considers this a national search, but there's no way this search continues without NC State making a massive decision about Will Wade. And if Will Wade gets that offer, then you know Wade has to decide whether NC State's the right fit for him.
All right, DG, as we talked about the ACC tournament in Charlotte this week, feels like this is Duke's tournament to lose.
Yeah, I'll say it's fun for a couple reasons. One, I agree. I mean, the favorite is Duke. They just went 19-1 in conference play. They're probably the best team in the entire nation, and they have the National Player of the Year on my ballot in Cooper Flagg, their freshman forward, who's also going to win a whole bunch of ACC awards. What I think is fun is that Clemson has never won an ACC tournament. They're the only original ACC member in 70-plus years that has never won the ACC men's basketball tournament. They've actually only been to the ACC title game twice in more than 70 years. And Brad Brownell has, I believe, one of the better teams in Clemson basketball history. And the Tigers, of course, are the only team that beat Duke in conference play during the regular season. Now, that game was at Little John Coliseum in Clemson. This game would be in Charlotte, North Carolina, if it ends up being Duke against Clemson. But the three seed Louisville is also a school seeking its first ever ACC championship. So that 2-3 matchup between the Tigers and the Cardinals would be a whopper. And if the other semifinal ended up being, Chris, Duke against either Wake or Carolina, remember that Wake and Carolina are both fighting for their postseason lives. So conference tournaments may not be quite as important as they once were, but if those two semifinal matchups occurred, I know I'll have a lot of fun on press row there, courtside at the Spectrum Center in Charlotte.
Well, enjoy the games, DG. Appreciate the time as always, and look forward to visiting again with you real soon.
Thank you, Chris. Take care, bud.
You too.